death, it's not something that we really like to talk about. As a matter of fact, we want to avoid it. And yet I will tell you this, I have thought about my death. I have thought about the way I want to die. I want to die victorious. I want to die in the full run of the race. I want to cross over that finish line, and I want to know that what I left behind, I did well. I did it for God. What do you want? So very, very proud of you. Do you know why I'm so proud of you? Do you realize that we have come to the final chapter of 1 Samuel? Do you realize what we have done? We have studied this book. We have been reading it through chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We have observed the text to discover what it says. We have looked at truth for ourselves. We have encountered it. And you and I, precious one, are learning how to live. We're understanding God's precepts for life. And understanding God's precepts for life prepare you for death. And what we see as we come to the end of 1 Samuel is we see a death that we don't want to emulate, a death that we don't want to, in a sense, define us and describe us. Now, I don't know if you know it or not, but I didn't know it for a while, but 1 and 2 Samuel were one book originally, and 1 and 2 Kings were one, and 1 and 2 Chronicles were one, but they were such heavy scrolls that they divided them in half, and they divided them in half so that they could handle them easier. And so 1 and 2 Samuel were originally one book, but what a place to divide 1 and 2 Samuel at the death of Saul. And I will tell you why. Because we're bringing closure to a man who shows us what it is like to walk in the flesh. I mean, if we look at Saul and we look at David, what you and I have, precious one, is we have a contrast between the flesh and the spirit, between Saul, who claims to know God, who's been anointed by God, and yet who walks his own way and does his own thing. He lives up this close to total obedience, and he's just partial obedience. And then we come to David. To David, who has been wandering in this wilderness, who knows that he's been anointed by God to be king, but Saul has been after him and pursuing him. And at this death, David doesn't know it in 1 Samuel, but he sure finds out about it in 2 Samuel chapter 1. But in this death, finally, you and I know that David's wilderness experience has come to an end. David has passed the fight, the test. David has fought the good fight. David has kept the faith. David has waited upon God. And now God is about to deliver him. Well, let's look at it. And I want us to go to 1 Samuel chapter 31. 1 Samuel chapter 31. And as we go to 1 Samuel chapter 31, we see now the Philistines were fighting against Israel, and the men of Israel fled before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. If you ever go to Israel with us, and I pray that you will, if you want a heavy Bible teaching tour, we have loads of fun. We form friendships that last for the rest of our lives, and we just have a delightful time together, praying together, worshiping together, studying the Word of God together, growing together in the knowledge of the Lord. But as we drive by, we'll be saying, oh, there's Mount Gilboa. There's Mount Gilboa. Do you see that? And then we take you to Beth Shean. And we go into this marvelous, marvelous city that has been unearthed. And we stand in that city, and some of the people run up to the top of where the walls were, and they look down and they remember the momentous event at Beth Shean and at Mount Gilboa. Well, let's look at it. Now, because you've studied so well, because you've done so well, you've done your homework, you've gone online to preceptsforlife.com, you've downloaded the study guide, and you have learned that you are to double underline in green every geographical reference. And so it says that Israel fled before the Philistines, and they fell slain on Mount Gilboa. The Philistines took Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan. I mean, that, it makes my heart ache. And it makes my heart ache, especially because I know what's going to happen in 2 Samuel chapter 1 and what it's going to do to the heart of David. It says they killed Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, the sons of Saul. Now, they killed those three sons, but there is one son left, Ishbosheth. And we're going to learn about him later, but not now. And it says the battle went heavily against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was badly wounded by the archers. Remember, that was their primary weapon of war apart from the sword, but this was for long distance fighting. And so he was an archer aimed at him and wounded him. And then Saul said to his armor bearer, now remember, the armor bearer's right at his side. The armor bearer has that shield. The armor bearer has that sword. The armor bearer has that bow. The armor bearer had those arrows. And then he said to his armor bearer, draw your sword and pierce me through with it. Otherwise, these uncircumcised will come and pierce me through and make sport of me. Now, would they do that? Oh, wait until you see what happens. It says, but his armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. So Saul took his sword. Saul just picks up his sword and he holds it there. He is badly wounded and he just falls on it. I don't know what movies that you have seen. I don't know if you have seen movies from the Roman Empire and others, but many times you see men falling on their sword. And you hear the expression, that's not one that's worth falling on my sword for. You know, in other words, it's not one that I am willing to die for. So Saul falls on his sword. Now, this is very important that you get these details. It's very important that you observe the text, because when you get to 2 Samuel chapter 1, you have a different story. So which is the true story? Well, in this account, which is told to us in a very historical framework, we are told that Saul took his sword and fell on it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and died with him. Now, if you got your study guide, you know that we're putting a little black tombstone over every reference to death. That's the way I mark dead, dying, killed. You know, that's the way I mark it. Thus, Saul died with his three sons, his armor bearer, and all of his men on that day together. I mean, it was quite a momentous victory for the Philistines, because they got Saul and his three sons, they got his armor bearer, they got all of his men. I mean, it was a cause of great triumph, of great rejoicing for the Philistines, but of great mourning for Israel when they hear about it. So who were those three sons? Well, you want to go back up and look at them in verse 2. The Philistines killed Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, the sons of Saul. Now, there is in your inductive study course that you downloaded, your study guide for this program, there is a diagram of Saul's family tree. And family trees are very important. David's family tree is important. Saul's family tree is important, because all these people have a role and they're going to interact. You and I have to remember that this book is about life and it's about death. It's a book that tells you how to live so that you are prepared to die. And in this book, you're going to find genealogies because they're very important to God. It's important for you to understand the who. Who is doing this? Who suffered? Who takes over? And understanding the who and the what and the when and the where and the why and the how. Those are key words for observation. All right, so it says in verse 7, when the men of Israel who were on the other side of the valley. Now, on the other side of the valley is on the other side of the Jezreel Valley. The Jezreel Valley is the same as the plain of Megiddo. It's where all the armies of the earth are going to be gathered together to make war against God. So all the armies in the last days are going to be there. This is where Napoleon stood, and he looked out at that beautiful Jezreel Valley, and he wept. He wept. He had never seen a more beautiful battlefield in all of his life. This is where Deborah and Barak fought Sisera. Well, it says, when the men of Israel who were on the other side of the valley with those who were beyond the Jordan. Now, you have to understand that on the other side of the Jordan, then the Israelites lived there. Yes, now it's Jordan, and now it belongs to the Arab people, but it originally was given to Manasseh and Gad and that as they came over. In the book of Joshua, in your new inductive study Bible, on page 356, you see a map of the Jordan River, and you see Jabesh-Gilead, and you see that Manasseh settled on both sides of the river. You see that underneath him was Gad, and underneath him, just to the east of the top of the Dead Sea, was Reuben. So there was a battle going on in Jezreel, but then you have those that are on the other side of the Jordan coming over. Now, God is giving you all this detail, and he's giving you all this detail because he wants you to understand the geographical setting of this passage. And it says that they were beyond the Jordan, they saw that the men of Israel had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead. And they abandoned the cities and they fled. Then the Philistines came and lived in them. That is so horribly sad. And it all came about because a man would walk in the flesh instead of in the spirit. And because of that, many would suffer as a result. We'll talk about it more when I come back. Welcome back, beloved. The battle's over, and our course is almost over. And I congratulate you so much on finishing this course. I am so proud of you, and you have meant so much to me. And you don't know how much it means to me to hear from you. I mean, I treasure those words. I love hearing from you. I love knowing what God has done and how you're pressing on towards that prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And I'm so happy that we have discovered you, because we're looking for people who are looking for truth. We want, our vision for you is that you become an exemplary follower of Jesus Christ. studying the Bible inductively, viewing the world biblically through the eyes of the Word of God, and serving the church faithfully in the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't want you to be another Saul. We want you to be like David. Well, the battle is over. And in one day, Jonathan dies, and his two brothers, Abinadab and Malchishua, they die. Saul dies. The armor bearer dies. It's over. It's over. And the battlefield is strewn with bodies. Now, what happens? The next day, the Philistines come. You know what they're coming for. They're coming to search the bodies. They're coming to take the spoils of war. They're coming to see whom they killed. So it says it came about in verse 8 of the final chapter of 1 Samuel. It came about on the next day when the Philistines came to strip the slain that they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. Now, you're better off fighting on a mountain than you are fighting in a valley because you have the advantage of looking down on your enemy. But listen to what they did. They cut off his head, Saul's head, and stripped off his weapons and sent them throughout the land of the Philistines to carry the good news to the house of their idols and to the people. So they're going to go to the house of Dagon. Now remember, in 1 Samuel, at the beginning of the book, in those first days, that when they once again take the Ark of the Covenant, which they steal from Israel, and they take the Ark of the Covenant, and they put it in the house of Dagon, their god. They come in, and Dagon, their god, has fallen flat on his face, and then his hands are broken off, and he's just, and his feet are broken off. And God says, that's what I want to tell you about your god. But now, they're going back in triumph, and they're taking their weapons, Saul's weapons, and the weapons of his three sons, and this is the head, this is the king, this is his son, and so they're carrying him into the house of their idols, and they're showing, see, you, the idol, caused us to triumph over our enemies. We have their weapons. What is this saying? This is saying that God is not strong enough to protect his people. But is that true? No, that's not true. God is judging Saul in his death. And consequently, because Saul is not dying a noble death, so to speak, because we're going to see why he died in just a minute, then God has allowed his name to be shamed, has allowed his omnipotence to be brought into question, because God is more interested in individuals than he's interested in his reputation. God does not have to defend his reputation. He is God. We are to defend it. We are to live it out, let me say that way. But Saul did not live it out. So they cut off his head. Verse 10, they put his weapons in the house in the temple of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body on the wall of Beth-Shean, on this glorious, glorious city that is just absolutely awesome and incredible. They take off his head. Now, I'm going to tell you what they do with his head, but they take the body and they nail the body to the wall of the city. So there is Jonathan, there is Abinadab, excuse me, can't say it, and there is Malchishua, and there is Saul, and there are their bodies fastened to the wall of Beth-Shean, but no heads on the tops of their bodies. It's very gross, really. And then it says in verse 11, now when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, then it says all the valiant men rose and walked all night, and they took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the walls of Beth-Shean, and they came to Jabesh and they burned them there, and they took their bones and they buried them under the tamarisk tree at Jabesh, and they fasted 7 days. Now, what have they done with the head of Saul? Well, they've taken the head of Saul and they've taken it to all the cities, and they're holding up Saul's head by a yank of hair in their hand, and they're showing him, we are victorious. And do you know why they were victorious? Well, I want us to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 10. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, remember I told you this is that little ho-hum book that really turns out to be dynamite. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, we have the account of the death of Saul. We have an account of this battle. The year is 1011 B.C. The year is 1011 B.C. And this is a parallel passage to 1 Samuel chapter 31. And we come down to the end of this. And this is to the end of the chapter. And I want to read it to you. And it says, it came about, verse 8, on the next day, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. So they stripped him and took his head and his armor and sent messengers around the land of the Philistines to carry the good news to their idols and to their people. They put his armor in the house of their gods and fastened his head in the house of Dagon. Dagon, the false god. How ashamed Saul would have been had he known it. And it says, when all Jabesh Gilead heard that the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and took away the body of Saul and the bodies of his son, and they brought them to Jabesh. And they buried their bodies under the oak in Jabesh and fasted 7 days. So Saul died for his trespass, which he committed against the Lord. Why did Saul die? Because of his trespass, which he committed against the Lord. Because of the word of the Lord, which he did not keep. Why have you and I studied this? We have studied this, beloved, so that you might know the word of God, so that you might keep the word of God, so that you might live well, so that you know how to die well. And it says, and also because he asked counsel of a medium, making inquiry of it. You know what we do? We don't always go to mediums, but we go to other books. We go to other people. We go to other educational institutions to learn about God, but we do not go to the book. Shame on us. If you want to live well and you want to die well, remember this is truth. Pure, unadulterated truth. That's what the word of God is. It's the very bread by which you live. It is a light unto your path. It is a lamp unto your feet. It is through his precepts that you get understanding. And in Psalm 19, it says, the Lord himself taught me. And that's what happens when you open the word of God. It says, he asked counsel of a medium, making inquiry of it. And he did not inquire of the Lord. Contrast that with David. Therefore, he, God, killed him and turned the kingdom to David, the son of Jesse. He says, I have sought for a man after my own heart. God is doing just like he said he would do in 1 Samuel 28:19. Saul is going to die. Saul, you're going to die on the battlefield. And he did. And he died an ignoble death because he did not live a noble life for God. Live nobly and die nobly. Girls, I don't know about you, but I know about me. I know that life is really demanding right now and that there are lots of pressures. And what I do every day is I cry, help, Lord. I want to be the woman you want me to be in this situation. And I'm sure that that's the way you feel. I say, help, Lord. I need peace. I need understanding. I need hope. Well, that happens to be the title of our women's conference. It's coming October 21st through the 23rd. And we want to invite you to come. I can see you and eat with you and have fellowship with you and open the Word of God along with other women who have been in all sorts of varied situations. We're going to teach you the Word of God, and we're going to bring you, I pray, into a relationship with God that will strengthen you for the days ahead. Come and join us. I would love to put my arms around your neck. Beloved, beloved student, this is our final precept for life in this series on 1 Samuel. And I am so grateful for you. And I want you to know that the way that you are living is your preparation for dying in such a way that you die in victory, you die in triumph, you die knowing, as Paul said, that you have fought the good fight, that you have kept the faith, that you have finished your course. You know, as I think about Saul and his death, I think about Acts chapter 2. I think about Peter's message on that awesome day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came on all mankind, so to speak, when the Spirit of God was poured out as prophesied by Joel, the same Spirit that anointed Saul and the same Spirit that anointed David, the Spirit, though, that left Saul because Saul did not walk with God, but the Spirit that did not leave David because he did. You've seen how Saul died. Now, what is your precept for life? Your precept for life is live as if you are going to die at any moment and you're going to see God face to face. When David dies, and before he dies, he writes, and so Peter on the day of Pentecost says this about him: "For David says of him," speaking of Jesus, "I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand, that I will not be shaken." In other words, how did David live? He saw the Lord always in his presence, at his right hand. He says, "Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue exalted, and moreover my flesh will live in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness in your presence." Now, David wrote that, and David wrote it for himself. And yet David wrote it as a prophet. He didn't know it. But Peter goes on to say, "Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both lived and died and was buried, and his tomb is with us today. And so, because he was a prophet and knew God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on the throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This same Jesus God raised up again, of whom we were all witnesses." What a way to die, writing a psalm about the one that is the resurrection and the life.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program,